Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean here and Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're with you live till 5. Chad Hershberger will be at the anchor desk this afternoon for the late day news roundup and CBS Sports Radio with you tonight after 7 here on WKOK. Lots of ways to get in contact with us here on the show. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. Also, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And once our live shows are done, we drop them as a podcast. You can subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast, and the shows will be delivered straight to your cell phone or tablet. And at stevejonesshow.com, we've got 3 months' worth of shows archived. So lots of ways to catch the shows, either live or on demand, whenever you want to listen to them. So we'll have some NFL talk coming up later today. NFL writer from USA Today, Neil Coulong, will make his weekly appearance. We'll talk Steelers-Jags, the AFC Divisional Playoff game from Heinz Field Sunday. That's a 105 kick. You'll be able to hear that live on 100.9 The Valley. So Neil joins us this afternoon. And Bucknell head basketball coach Nathan Davis will be with us at 4:35 today as the Bison prepare to renew their rivalry with Lehigh. And that'll be tomorrow, a 6:30 pregame and a 7 p.m. tip on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong. So Bucknell gets Lehigh tomorrow night. And then they have back-to-back road games next week. Actually, they have 3 games next week between Monday through Saturday. They'll be at Colgate on Monday, at Loyola on Wednesday, and they'll travel down to Baltimore. And then they'll be back in Soica Pavilion for a Saturday matinee, Saturday, January the 20th, against Holy Cross. So still lots of opportunities to catch terrific D1 basketball right in our own backyard. All you do is go to bucknell.edu/boxoffice. So we look forward to hearing from Coach Nathan Davis today at 4:35. So some NFL moves happened today. The Seattle Seahawks in the market for a new offensive play caller. Darrell Bevell was fired as offensive coordinator earlier today after 7 seasons. Bevell was their offensive coordinator since 2011. He previously held that same role with the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. He was the offensive coordinator for Brett Favre. He is the first coordinator to leave Seattle other than getting a head coaching job since 2010. And Oklahoma Sooners quarterback Baker Mayfield's arrest close to a year ago will not disqualify him for participating in this year's NFL scouting combine. While the list of players invited to Indianapolis for the combine has yet to be finalized, the expectation is Mayfield, the Heisman Trophy winner, will be invited. Flip it back to last year. Mayfield was arrested on February the 25th in Fayetteville, Arkansas, charged with public intoxication, disorderly conduct, fleeing, and resisting arrest. Mayfield reached a plea deal in June, paid fines for several of the charges. However, because the incident did not involve violence, NFL officials seem it doesn't feel to rise to the level of offense that it would preclude a player from taking part in the NFL Combine. We're talking Combine here in the middle of the playoffs. Playoffs. Eagles football coming up on Saturday. That'll be the first of four games this weekend in the divisional round. Eagles and Falcons.
And my team's not in it, man.
No.
I tell you, that's why I coach the Raiders now. They didn't make it.
I'm going to put the oak in Oakland, man.
And then we're going to uproot the tree.
Vegas, baby.
I bought property in Reno. Yeah, I'll tell you. You know what? The Eagles are in a weird spot. They're the underdog.
Yeah. To a number six seed.
But they should be.
Yes.
They should be. The quarterback situation is not good. With all due respect, I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback. The problem is you need a little bit better than good. That's what I, you know. And you look at Ryan, and Ryan is better than good.
Well, and you could tell last Saturday night in Los Angeles that the Falcons looked like the more experienced, been there, done that kind of team. I think the lights were a little too bright for the Rams last Saturday, but obviously their future looks very, very promising. Jared Goff had a terrific year, and Todd Gurley, I know you've been singing his praises here on the show, so they're going to be around for a while. I think the one team in their division that could be in trouble is Seattle. I mean, look at Rams arrows pointing up. Look at San Francisco. They got a promising future. They've really turned it around despite that very terrible start to the season. So,
well, also what San Francisco has done is they've cleared the way for other teams, and here's the reason why. They've got their quarterback. So now there's a domino effect. And that domino effect is the fact that that's one quarterback that doesn't have to be taken. They already got Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
I got Derek Carmen. I got a bullseye on me. Yeah, I know. We all watch on Monday Night Football. I got it. Yeah, we're good. But, but I like this playoff thing. I like what I'm seeing in the playoff thing. I think that, New England is going to woodshed Tennessee. Let's be honest. And I think the Steelers are going to absolutely woodshed Jacksonville. The Steelers are going to do to Jacksonville what they did to Miami last year. That's right. You heard it here first, Sean.
Why wait till Friday at 4:35?
They will woodshed them. You will go to that game. I promise you, you will walk out of there a happy hombre.
I think the key is a fast start. As long as they get Bortles playing from behind, they're going to be in good shape.
Yeah. I think that'll happen. They'll be fine. And
I mean, I'll admit, after the Jacksonville game, as we were leaving Pittsburgh in October, I was a little inconsolable for about a half an hour and 45 minutes, but I got it out of my system. But the further we have moved away from that game, it's just...
Inconsolable.
Yeah.
Inconsolable. You still owe me and the audience money because we had to talk you off the ledge for days. Like, what are we doing here? Ah.
But
there are people that make good money.
Yeah.
All right, listening to what you had to say.
The more and more we've pulled away from that game, you just chalk it up as a bad day at the office.
I think they learned from it.
Yeah.
I do. I think so, man. So I look at them and I think they are going to take that team, and they are going to rip them apart. That's right.
And I did hear last week that Paul Posluszny got hurt, so I didn't hear the severity of the injury as to if he will, how far away from 100% he'll be for Sunday.
Yeah, that I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard either. I haven't checked the injury report yet.
Don't know. They'll have to put that out. So,
but they got a great pass rush with Calais Campbell. The back end is as advertised, and I think you could. The Legion of Doom in Seattle is done. Let's face it; it's you move on from that. I would say if you're looking for another team that's going to take that Legion of Boom status, could be the secondary for Jacksonville. I mean, AJ Boye is great. Ramsey is great.
Ramsey is terrific.
He is.
I think Ramsey is a terrific player, and I am impressed by Ramsey. Very, very much so.
So as long as those two don't get in Ben's head early, I think they're going to be in good shape. And obviously, they got to run. They got to give it to Le'Veon Bell more than 15 times. That was a thing I just could not understand. It's like Chiefs fans last week with Kareem Hunt barely getting the ball in the second half. Well, it was the Steelers only giving Le'Veon Bell the ball 15 times in the first matchup with the Jags. So that's right. Got to change, too.
Exactly.
Cold weather, ground and pound.
Exactly.
Can't wait, though. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
I've always thought the divisional round of the playoffs is the best weekend in pro football.
There you go. Then, by the way, your Super Bowl referee is going to come out of this weekend. Just so you know. Whomever grades out the highest is going to be the one that's going to get it.
Well, I hope during the first owners' meetings during the offseason, someone brings up the idea of, for the playoffs, not have like all-star referee crews. If you're going to have a crew do the playoff games, stick with that core referee group that was together in the regular season and bring them into the playoffs instead of having these all-star groups.
Right.
Because there's just been a lot of inconsistencies going on.
Right.
Al Michaels let it know. He let it be known for sure. He chimed in pretty good during the first half of the Rams game there on Saturday night.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's
just
not
seemed
right.
Like a replay was just going. He goes, what's Hockley looking at? It's like, what's going on? Right. Let's go.
Well, exactly. That's how everybody feels about it. So he is echoing what everyone else is saying. So that's what he's doing. He's echoing what everybody else is saying and thinking. So nothing he's saying that we have not said. It's a problem. Look, I did a game last night where it was both ways. All right? Both ways. I mean, there's some plays of Penn State did not get the right call. There's some plays Indiana didn't get right the call. I mean, I'll give you a good example where Penn State caught a break. Penn State caught a break when I think it was Carr driving to the bucket. Zach McRoberts, I'm sitting there and like, it's clean as clean gets. It's clean. They call a foul. So I said, well, maybe he got him with the body. Then I look at the replay. He didn't touch him. Just hit the ball. Right, so Penn State caught a break there. You have A, B's, and C's among officials. There's an A group that to me is they're terrific. They're human. They'll make a mistake here and there, but they're human. Okay. But they're terrific for the most part. B's is probably a smaller pool of B officials than there are A's and C's. But the B official is capable of giving you A work on many, many nights, and then there's some nights where it's just not quite there. So it's just not consistent enough to be an A. That's probably the smallest pool. And then there's C. The C group of officials, I don't care what sport, football, basketball, whatever, they make a series of, you know, they can make some calls, but they'll make a series of mistakes that are just based on being out of position, right? Or anticipating, you know, that's the default call, or have a tendency to make the easy call and not the best call. How many times you see, oh, yeah, boom, it had to be pass interference, so he threw it. It had to be. No, just call what you see. If you don't see it, don't call it. If you see it, call it. I mean, those are the ones that struggle. Those are the ones that struggle. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In 103 years, there's been many firsts at Sunbury Motors Ford.
But never one like this.
SMC is selling vehicles for half price. You heard right. Sunbury Motors Ford is taking up to $15,007 off their remaining 2017 vehicles. That's a savings of up to 53%. SMC is serious about moving 67 2017 cars, SUVs, and trucks. They're slashing the price on 2017 F-150s up to $14,500. Take a whopping $8,000 off all remaining 2017 Ford Escapes. Take $7,000 off all remaining 2017 Ford Edges and Explorers. Lease a 2017 Ford C-Max Energy for only $179 a month for 24 months with zero down. That's zilch, nothing, nada. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, to be one of 67 lucky people to save 53% on your next new vehicle.
Is Gerrit Cole going to the Astros? There were reports earlier today that it was locked in, a done deal. That you never heard the names that were going the other way to Pittsburgh. Now it's like, well, I'm not so sure it's happening just yet.
Wonder what happened to the Yankees. Thought that was locked up.
Well, you can't really, you can go wrong by picking the wrong players. But in terms of the depth of organizations, you're going to get a pretty good pick whether it's Houston or the Yankees. The Yankee organization, prospect-wise, actually might be a little deeper than the Astros now, because the Astros did have to make a couple of moves. But remember, the Astros only made their couple of moves this year. It's not an accumulation of years. Like the Red Sox. Red Sox went from bringing a very deep organization with prospects to now being a good organization with prospects, but not as deep because they've made so many deals where they've included prospects. So that's how you end up depleting your organization. The Astros have only had to go through one cycle of that, and that was this past year. That's how you end up with Justin Verlander. I mean, how do you end up with Kate Upton cheering at your games? You give up prospects for Justin Verlander. Neil Kulong, next half hour. He'll join us from Seattle, where Sean has already put the tombstone in the Seahawks. Wow, Sean.
Legion of Boom, gone.
Well, it's better than the suit. Suit didn't know Seattle had a team. That's when he knew he had to go to digital media. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show continues.
Right,
News Radio 1070.
This day in sports history, You try to interrupt me? I was in flow, man.
I wasn't sure where you're at. I was just checking. Thought I'd just glide in for a few seconds before you turn on the mic.
Come on, man.
I wasn't sure if Jack called, so I was just going to hang here for a few seconds.
He called. He called yesterday.
Okay.
So, actually, Dick's the one that's calling today.
Okay.
Although Jack's pretty good. He goes, you're on a break right now, aren't you? Starting to know the show.
There you go. Yeah. He's coming around. I knew it happened. Yay. Sooner or later, we knew it happened for Hammer.
He said, know the flow of the show.
Great.
All right. This day in sports history, and then we'll get to Neil Coulong and talk with him. 1950, Ben Hogan appeared for the first time at a golf tournament since that auto accident a year earlier. He tied slamming Sammy Snead in the Los Angeles Open. However, Snead won the playoff. 1962, the NFL entered into a single network agreement with CBS. They telecast all the games for $4.65 million per year. Oh, and 62 is pretty good money. Let's see. 1990, the NCAA approved a random drug testing program among college football players and harsh penalties for drug use. And in 1995, NHL owners rejected the players' unrestricted free agency proposal. One year at 32, five at 31, and countered with 3 years at 32 and three at 31. Of course, they're all also the league that locks their players out all the time. You wonder why Gary Bettman gets roundly booed everywhere he goes? People are not going to be enamored with commissioners that mess with their games. Okay? It's not going to do it. They're not going to tolerate it. Look at Goodell. As soon as they had the lockout, fans started to turn on Goodell. Now, maybe in the end it helped the NFL. I don't know. But to the fans, like, oh, what do you mean? What are you locking players out? What are you doing that for? So, Gary Bettman's done it, I think, four times. Now, look at Adam Silver. Hey, okay, right. He's never done any of that stuff because he hadn't been around long enough. Same thing with Rob Manfred. Oh, okay, all right, there you go, Rob. Gary Bettman, boo. Goodell, boo. Suit, yay. I figured I'd make the suit feel better today.
He'll appreciate that.
I've been booed. You know him. I've been booed.
Yes, he has. The one time he managed the 94 KX Crusher softball team back in 98. That was a rough day.
Oh.
I think it was, who do we play? May have been Sunbury Textile Mills,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but guess what? Eh? Eh? The other players felt he mismanaged it. All right. The Steelers will play Jacksonville. And by the way, they will crush Jacksonville, okay? I mean, they'll crush them. The two AFC games are going to be non-competitive. I think the two NFC games are going to be great. I think Minnesota and the Saints, great game. I think the Eagles and the Falcons, great game. I think the two AFC games are going to be easy. Look at Sean's getting nervous. Every time I bring it up, you get nervous.
No, I'm not nervous at all.
Your team is going to kill this group.
I hope so.
See, I don't have a stake in it. I can say whatever I want. And with that, we bring in Neil Coulong. Neil, welcome. Great to have you with us.
My only question is, who's in Pennsylvania? Do we have anybody, or are we just doing this all virtually here?
No, I mean, no, really. They opened the door to the state. We all walked out.
That's what happens when the weather rolls in.
You got that right.
I was in Los Angeles yesterday, and it was like 78 and sunny the day before I landed. It rained the entire time I was there. And I loved it because I left at 5 below, and it was totally fine with me. I didn't have to wear a jacket. There was, like, plant lice and, you know, the smell of fresh air. It was so anti-winter. It was very refreshing. But now it's still raining in Seattle.
What is this fresh air you speak of?
Oh, it's something you just completely forget about after about mid-September or so. Everything starts freezing up, and it's no good. But, yeah, I'm, you know, 45 and rainy is fine with me today.
Very nice. All right, Neil, the obvious question is going to be about Antonio Brown and what his status. It's been almost a month now, and I've always felt that, hey, look, getting the bye bought them some time. Has it bought them enough time?
Yeah, everything we're hearing is he's practicing, and he shared a bunch in social media, running, cutting, and stuff like that. I mean, it looks like he's at least as in little pain as possible, and pain management, I think, is going to be kind of the name of the game for him going on. Something like that, a really deep, really bad bruise to a vital muscle is probably not something that he's just going to get over in even 3 weeks. But if you can get Antonio Brown at about 90%, I think that's probably about the optimal level. And from what we've seen, we'll find out a lot more this weekend. But from what we've seen, it looks like he's pretty good to go. I think explosion. And from that, I think that the Steelers will have their best foot forward in a playoff game for pretty much the first time.
What can Juju Smith-Schuster, what has he meant actually to Antonio Brown in this offense? Has it helped relieve some of the pressure off of him by how he has played?
I'd almost say it's probably the other way around, because really what we see with Juju Smith-Schuster is a younger player who has a lot of explosive ability to get down the field. He's getting a lot of single coverage. I would expect Jacksonville probably to try to man him up as much as they're able to do it. But with Brown, I mean, it really doesn't even matter. You can put another all-pro on the other side of him, and they're going to double-team the guy. They're going to triple-team the guy. He's that good. He commands that much of the offense. But Smith-Schuster, he's benefiting from Brown being on the other side of the line more than anything. I mean, Brown's numbers are Brown's numbers. They are what they've been over the last couple of years, with or without a decent second receiver. Smith-Schuster is taking big advantage of that. You know, he's got a lot more vertical ability than I thought he was going to have, especially early in his career. And he's making a really nice name. He's played 16 games. He's got 1,000 yards. For a rookie, that's really impressive. You don't see that very often, even with a first or a second round pick.
Jacksonville, of course, won its way in one of the titanic offensive battles of our lifetime. I think the Bills are in the parking lot with a 20-play drive and still haven't scored yet. But people have said, well, if they play like that, the Steelers will run them out. The funny thing is, Neil, I felt like the Steelers, the Jags game, played out like that because Jacksonville picked off two passes, ran it back for touchdowns.
Yeah, it was really an all-defensive performance from them. It's not like we saw a whole lot from Jacksonville in the competitive moments of the game. You got to give them credit. I mean, certainly, getting interceptions off Ben Roethlisberger isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. They did that in spades. I mean, they did a great job, especially early in the second half. But Leonard Fournette, for as outstanding a player as he is, he had 90 yards on 27 carries or something like that. That's a solid day. That's not an unbelievable day. His 91-yard touchdown run came with under 2 minutes to go in a game they were up by two possessions with the ball. So, I mean, it wasn't really – the score wasn't as indicative of a Jacksonville dominating performance the way that you probably think when looking at it. The Steelers should have been much more competitive in that game. They were sloppy. Ben was really bad, really off. He had a lot of tip passes at the line. He gave away a lot. But to me, more than anything, and this is what really should excite Steelers fans, you don't hear of teams very often calling their shot during the bye week. There were several Steelers players said flat out they wanted another shot at Jacksonville. To me, right. It sounds to me like they really took that one to heart. That loss really stung them. And with everything that they have with Jacksonville playing the way that they did, I wasn't overly impressed with them at all in that game against Buffalo. You have to almost kind of sense that the Steelers romp in this one. I think they're really going to be on point. They've had rest. They've got all of their guys there, and they've got revenge on their mind. I don't think they're going to let that stand. And that's the type of team that this is. Kind of throw decorum out of the books. Now they're going to say flat out, we want this opponent, and they're going to go out and stop them.
Right, and you could tell that's exactly what they wanted in this game was they want Jacksonville around, because I think they just felt like, hey, look, we fouled that game up. I mean, that's the impression I got from the Steelers. Look, we fouled that game up.
And really, what you have to look at doesn't even, you don't have to go all that far back. Look what they did to Miami. The first three drives of that game last year, the revenge game against the Dolphins.
Right.
I mean, they blew the doors off of that team. I really could see something similar to this with Jacksonville, simply because we saw the Blake Bortles that we've seen most of this season, not the one who got hot at the end of the year. It's playoff football. You can't win if your quarterback isn't playing well. And he didn't play well at all. You're going to put up a college-level line for a quarterback, 90 rushing yards and 90 passing yards, that's not going to work in the NFL playoffs. You know, it's way too one-dimensional, and I don't think their offense it has nearly enough firepower to trade blows with the Steelers, even if Jacksonville has a great defense. I think, really, this is the start of what could be a very good Jacksonville team, but I really think the Steelers are going to, you know, teach them what a playoff team really is. I think they've got much more depth, much more balance, and their coaching has been outstanding all year as well, in my opinion. So I think, you know, really, the Steelers just have more than Jacksonville does, and I think the Steelers are going to, you know, really show people who they are and leading into that rematch against New England.
Hey, Blake Bortles, this is not a rookie quarterback any longer at all. When you watch him play, why is it such a flat line?
There are so many things with him. It just makes you think that a lot of it is mental. There was a stretch in the first quarter that game against Buffalo. He was off pretty badly, pretty inaccurately on three consecutive screen passes. I mean, you know, when you have a quarterback that can't throw the ball 7 yards across the field accurately to an athletic player to, you know, in a vain attempt to establish some kind of offense, you've really got a problem. And in Jacksonville's case, they needed the big play at the end. They got the one drive, the gutty touchdown. If that's all your quarterback is going to muster, you've really got to think about that position. And, you know, there are a lot of rumors that went out that they were trying to kind of deal him in the offseason. I'm not sure what they would have gotten back, but they played him on that option year. And, I'd be up in the air whether they're going to bring him back or not. What I know is Jacksonville has a ton of cap space. I don't know how many more draft picks they really need. They need to get, you know, their injured players back, especially their receivers. But in my opinion, they're right in the market for a high-end quarterback should one, even a couple of them, hit the market this offseason. That very well could happen.
All right, what about the Roethlisberger factor in this one? Because obviously if we're sitting there and we're doing a tail of the tape, big check quarterback goes to – obviously, Roethlisberger. What about his factor? What did you think of his play deal the last month of the season?
I thought he's gotten better and better to the point where you really have to say it's very, very likely that he's playing better football at the quarterback position than anybody else. You know, we're starting to see some life out of the Falcons and Matt Ryan. But for me, Roethlisberger has been, you know, consistently outstanding. He's making much better decisions. He's delivering much more catchable balls than he did early in the year. I'm not sure what exactly caused his slow start, but in reality, I think he would have been an MVP candidate if not for that game against Jacksonville. Outside of that, you look at his numbers up and down, he's been as excellent as anybody in the league. You know, I understand basically the difference between Roethlisberger and Brady this year is Brady didn't have a game like Ben did. He played almost flawlessly, if not kind of, you know, I don't want to say passively, but not nearly as aggressively as he's been. You know, Ben has really kind of ratcheted up the aggression over the last couple of weeks. I think he really wanted that Patriots game. A couple games that he played before, he was basically unstoppable. You have to really like where he is. And I think that's going to be kind of the catalyst of this team this weekend. I think they know the level that he's playing at, and that's going to give everybody else confidence. The defense can be more aggressive up front, try to, you know, force more takeaways and get him the ball and play with, you know, a two-touchdown-plus lead for most of the game. I think that's the Steelers team you're going to see, and it's really because of Ben.
Is it safe to say in your mind, Neil, that the first quarter will tell us everything about the game?
I think so. Just, you know, going back to that Miami game again, I think that was really just, yep, you saw the Steelers in their explosive best in that game. And I think they've got stuff stored up for the playoffs. I think they've got something special in store for Jacksonville in particular. I think they're going to be on point, you know, razor sharp right away at the beginning of this game. I haven't felt more optimistic about the Steelers' chances of winning a playoff game in a while compared to this one. I really think they have a big advantage here.
Neil, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. The door to Pennsylvania is open to let you back in.
Definitely. I'll be there a couple days. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. We'll come back with more in a moment. Nathan Davis, we're going to have Nathan final half hour today, right?
Absolutely.
And we'll talk to him today. And we'll also talk with Andrew Callahan at 24/7 Sports Today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. And We'll talk in the next half hour to Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports. And we'll talk to him a little bit about football, a little bit about basketball, so forth. All right? So we're going to do all that and more coming up on the show today. All right. And then final half hour, Nathan Davis will talk Bucknell basketball. I haven't had a chance to really talk to Coach much.
It's been a couple weeks.
He seems happier. All right.
I got nothing to do with you. He just got a nice break of me not texting him all the time.
He just seems so much happier.
Weight off his shoulders.
Okay, let me just think. What's he changed? Well, he doesn't do the show anymore. Seems to have that look of inner peace. Hey, don't forget on the after show today, the suit is going to analyze the IndyCar season.
I love it. Why wait till spring, right?
I love the fact it's on the after show. There's certain things where you just kind of look at it and say, you know what, that's where it belongs. Yes. Oh, my goodness. So I'm in Indiana yesterday. Now, you know, we're supposed to get some, it's supposed to be what, get to 50, 55 the next couple days?
Right.
Well, they're talking about in Indiana, they're going to get a foot of snow, they said, on Friday. Because I guess they're going to get whatever rain we get, it's going to be cold enough there to snow. They say they're going to get a foot of snow there. Holy mackerel. Brutal. Don Fisher's looking at me. He's like, Steve, I don't know, Stevie. He always calls me Stevie. Yeah, he can. He is the senior guy. Don has done Indiana basketball for 45 years. I guess I'm second now in the conference or something like that, 36 years or something like that. So we've been around each other for a long time. Calvin Ridley is going to enter the NFL draft. Deron Payne is going to enter the NFL draft. Bo Scarborough is going to enter, but Damian Harris says he's going to stay. Harris says, now we picked the right quarterback. No, I'm just kidding. he did say that.
We're going to open up the competition. What?
What? What are you there? So
yeah, we'll see how many names are going to come down the pike here over the next 5 days since the 15th is the deadline.
Yeah. By the way, in a wheelchair, but there, Ryan Shazier was at the Steelers indoor practice facility today. He's sitting in a wheelchair with his Steeler gear on. And it was just good to see him out there. I guess he's got feeling back in his legs, right?
Yeah, there was an exclusive interview. One of the Pittsburgh TV stations interviewed his dad last week, and yes, that's when that information was unveiled.
Yeah, feeling
not
in his
really legs. Other specifics were released, but that was pretty much it. Any positive news is great news. We will take.
You got that right. Well, I don't know if he ever plays another down again, but when he played, he was one heck of a football player.
Yep, let's just get to quality of life. Let's just get that back.
That's right. All right, next half hour, Andrew Callahan of 24/7 Sports. We'll talk football and some basketball with him. Nathan Davis, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.